الله أكبر الله
How awesome is that, Haji?
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom, keep walking, keep on your toes and don't stop talking about freedom.
This is the Most Reverend Doc, here once again to address gun control. I am moved in the spirit to do this after reading that my fellow man of the cloth, that pinnacle of the ecumenical, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, informed America that semi-automatic rifles are a national security threat. He said that they can shoot down airplanes and blow up railroads. Railroads, mind you, not just the odd locomotive or caboose. I quail in fright for our brethren at Amtrak and Union Pacific. Perhaps out of concern for the sensibilities of the nation, the Reverend Jackson didn't explain that these rifles can also shoot down satellites, destroy cities, and sink continents. Have you seen Smith & Wesson's new Sputnik, Nagasaki, or Atlantis models? No, folks. As you know, I'm not a reverend, but neither am I an old fraudster like Jesse. When the anti-gun lobby scrapes the bottom of the barrel to drag out a vintage reprobate like Jackson, you know they are getting desperate. When a hoary, liberal has-been like Jackson resorts to out-and-out fantasies about airplanes, railroads, and rifles, you know he's reached a new nadir of irrelevancy. Airplanes and railroads, indeed. This is Doc Tubes wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. If there's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe, the bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. No, it ain't the only place on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles fly. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles fly.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench.
Wonders might be present.
It's October. October the 2nd here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. Why do we have stuff going on here? Stop. Jeez. All right, we're back. October, you know, Halloween's coming up, so you'll be hearing a lot of Halloween stuff. That's pretty much Amy's favorite holiday, I think, is Halloween. So we'll see how that goes. We've got some changes coming up. Let me go see who all is in the chat room here. I checked in a while ago. Let me see if we got anything else going on. We got a couple of Anonymous, and T-Bow, and Yakima Glock, Pumpkin Cat, and Mini Men Pin, and the Tinker, some guy named Desert Scout. Thank you, T-Bow. Anonymous 1500. Taking a job in Utah, moving there from Texas. Okay, that would mean a lot more to me if I knew who you were. But whoever you are, I'm glad you got a job in Utah. It's kind of a toss-up. Utah's got a little bit better gun laws than Texas. And as far as I know, it's I'm not sure if it's still red or not. I don't remember. Anyway, I like Utah. There's some great places to go in there. Really nice country, especially down around Moab and down in there. Damn, I like that country in there. So anyway, there's going to be some changes coming up to the network here, coming up in a week or so. We're doing away with the Friday night show for the time being. The not Liberty Lounge, but the Three Amigos. It's going away for a bit. And Liberty Lounge is going to start an hour earlier, starting not day after tomorrow, not this coming Friday, but the following Friday. Liberty Lounge will be starting at 7 Arizona time. Arizona time, for all you folks that have to change clocks twice a year and all that, Arizona time is Mountain Standard Time. In the wintertime, it's Mountain Standard Time, and in the summertime, it's Mountain Standard Time. And any other time, it's Mountain Standard Time. So right now, it just happens to coincide with Pacific Time. And here pretty quick, after y'all figure out what you're going to do and change times again, we will coincide with Mountain Time, which is what we are anyway. So that's what's going on there. And I thought that Liberty Lounge, we'd pick up an hour earlier, hoping that, you know, out on the East Coast, we lose people pretty quick out there. It's just too late. So I'm hoping that an hour will make a difference for them out there, and they'll be able to hang with us a little longer. Of course, the podcast and archives are always available. So. And oddly enough, I checked here a couple weeks ago, and looking at the numbers on the podcast, and the podcast, the Liberty Lounge, it runs just about as high on numbers and downloads as the other podcasts do, the other shows do, which I don't know why I find that surprising. I guess, you know, people just like classic country or classic rock or whatever. Probably not a big deal to anybody else, but I just thought it was kind of neat. So anyway, yeah, expect a little bit of other changes going on in the network here very, very soon. That'll manifest itself here before long. All right, I'll have to check that out, Minnie, in a little bit there. as most of you know, we've got a rifle class starting tomorrow, and it's a 3-day class. It's a modified designated rifleman class. And by modified, I mean that right in the middle of it, we're having a CCW class. So that's kind of odd, but for what we're doing, it's going to work out really, really well for everybody there. So the designated rifleman class, for those of you that don't know, is a little bit different than the, you know, we have the multi-purpose rifle class. And it in itself is a little different than the average rifle classes that you find out on the market. Reason being is because I don't care if you bring a single shot 22 or a a bolt action rifle or a pump or a lever action 30-30 or whatever you want to bring, because the whole purpose of it is a multi-purpose rifle. What it means is, I've always thought that a lot of these rifle classes, and I have nothing against them, don't think for a minute that I'm bad-mouthing anybody else's class, because that's not the case at all. It's just a different type of class. But most of them are geared towards, you know, G.I. Joe. They go and you need your all this particular gear and your AR-15 and your flak jacket or whatever in the hell else they want. And that's fine and dandy, but the point is, we're kind of gearing towards poop at the fan type, you know, social economic collapse, you know, whatever causes this. And it's going to happen when you're in school or at work or in church or in the grocery store or wherever. And the vast majority of us don't carry all that stuff around in the trunk of the car. But I'd like to think that most of us have a rifle of some kind that rides around with you. So whatever it may be, another thing would be, what about when you're out fishing with the grandkids and all of a sudden you stumble across a dope field or something? Don't laugh. It's happened. It's happened more than once. And what do you have with you? Are you all decked out with your AR-15 and everything while you're out trout fishing, or do you just have a little bolt action 22 in case you see a grouse or a snowshoe rabbit or something while you're out there? So the idea behind the multi-purpose rifle is to learn to fight with any rifle that you have, any long gun that you can pick up. At which point your handgun becomes your secondary weapon. Your handgun will be your primary weapon until you have a long gun in your hand. And then the handgun takes a back seat there for the time being. So that's the whole purpose behind our deal. The designated rifleman is where you have a family unit, a family group, or a group of friends and neighbors there, you've gotten together and said, you know, for our own common defense, we need to have some kind of organization. We need to, you know, figure out what we're doing here. So in this small group should be at least one guy who is trained a little bit differently than the other guys, the other people. And that would be somebody that has a rifle that is capable of, and he is capable, or she. Speaking of she, we're going to have two she's in our rifle class tomorrow, so I've got to be careful how I say that. You need to have a couple people in there that are trained a little bit differently to act as an intermediary between the personal defense weapon, you know, the average range, common, everyday, ordinary AK-47, AR-15, whatever. Somewhere in between there and a full-fledged, honest-to-goodness sniper. Somewhere in between there is your designated rifleman. He's the guy, or she's the guy, that will take care of that menace out there that is 300, 400, 500 yards away, that is possibly out of reach of some of the other people and the other weapons. So that's why the designated rifleman class is kind of catching on. You know, people are kind of seeing my reasoning for that, and I guess at least to some of them it makes sense. So that's our thing coming up this weekend. Like I said, it's modified a little bit with another class thrown in there too, but that's a whole different story. But you know, your designated, I mean your multi-purpose rifle can be anything, 22 Magnum. I still wish there was a good semi-automatic magazine fed reliable 22 Magnum rifle out there. I would be all over that. Something that was common, something that, you know, more than one person had. And I don't have to tell you guys what the 22 Magnum fan I am. So you heard that the Forest Service had, well, it was through a judge and not the EPA, but a bunch of tree huggers were upset because rules weren't being followed to protect the Mexican spotted owl. So they shut down, originally they said they were going to shut down the forest in Arizona and New Mexico. Well, they come back out the next day and said that only one forest in Arizona, which was the Tonto National Forest, and all of the forest in New Mexico were going to be shut down. And you know, people around here, we survive. We live on the, it's necessary that we have the access to firewood out there and without having to go down on the street corner and buy it. It don't matter. You can't buy it down the street corner because those people here around Sholo, there is people all over the place all winter long and pick up beds full of firewood for people to buy. Runs and prices vary depending on how much they have, what kind of wood it is. But right now, when this threat happened, that would have eliminated that. You know, you could only be able to get your firewood off of private land, which we did a couple of years ago, three or four years ago. So anyway, the people of New Mexico, and I assume some in Arizona, just raised all kinds of hell, petitions and protest and, you know, trying to make these people understand we have to have firewood. You know, that not everybody in the world is hooked up with electric heaters and gas stoves and pellet stoves and all that stuff. We have wood stoves, and we need wood. So anyway, people raised enough hell that yesterday, they backed off of that, and there's still no logging or anything else of that nature going on. But if you need firewood, they have allowed that. There's a few restrictions on it, which is, you know, kind of frustrating. But for the most part, you can just go out and get your firewood. And I'm not sure why the firewood bothers the owls anyway, because most of the time it's illegal to drop standing dead trees, depending on what kind of tree, and you know, certain areas you can, but often you're not able to because these trees harbor owls and whatnot. So most of the time you're not able to do that. So that being said, that means that most of your wood that you're going to be getting is already on the ground. And doubtful, very, very doubtful that that's going to be affecting any owls. You know, maybe a burrowing, whatever they call them, owls that live close to the ground or underground or whatever. But the typical Mexican spotted owl doesn't live in a burrow. He lives in a tree. All right, I'm sure you were dying to get that little tidbit of information here. All right, let's move on here to what is this story right here? Quite naturally, I got to open all these up again. You know, I ought to just start getting in the habit of doing this from my cotton picking phone to begin with. At least my phone's more reliable. There we go. Let's see. Oh, I think we already talked about this one. This was less than 24 hours after Pelosi's impeachment. The DOJ cleared Trump. We'll see how that works out. You know, there's stuff going on Facebook, and they're saying that if he is impeached, and once again, that doesn't mean that he's leaving office. It basically means that there's been enough evidence to charge him with something. And there's some memes going around and some idiots on Facebook that are saying that if a president has been impeached and the Senate does not convict him, that his first term becomes null and void, and at that time he has the opportunity to serve two more terms. Well, I'm not sure where anybody got that, but it is not true. Being impeached has absolutely nothing to do with how many terms you serve, unless you are convicted of some high crimes and misdemeanors and they kick you out of office. But if they didn't do that to Clinton for what he did, yeah, that's another thing. If they were going to do that, you know good and well Clinton would have taken another term or two. But no, that's not true. So forget that. These people post this stuff online. A guy posted something that was 5 years old today and then turned right around in 5 minutes and posted something that was 3 years old. And that's not too bad if you have a little explanation worth it saying, you know, they did this 5 years ago and I see this happening again, or those same people are involved in this new thing that's come up here. But no, it's just, and then when you call them on it and say, yeah, it's 5 years old, who cares? Well, I just got to remember this stuff. Why don't you just say that you didn't look at the damn date and you had no idea what you were posting, apologize and delete it and move on? Because I don't care. It wastes time, it wastes space, and it means nothing unless it is relevant to something else that's going on. And he said the same thing with both of them. He said, well, if it's easy enough just to scroll by, but I don't want to scroll by. I want to see new stuff. I've been scrolling by that other story for 5 years. So why don't we scroll over there and delete it and move on to something a little more important. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Maybe I'm a little crotchety, but that's just the way it is. All right, let's see. What about this one here? Nope, we covered that already. Apparently, they're saying that some of the other gun makers may be following Colt's lead here in stopping civilian AR-15 sales. And with the climate being what it is right now, the political climate and everything, everybody just assumed that it is because of the mass shootings and the this and that and the other, and that they're just being politically correct and pulling that off. That's not the case. And it's not the first time Colt has done this. As I told you the other day, Colt has a massive government contract, and they just cannot keep up with everything that needs to be done. So they have to pick something. So instead of continuing to try to get those rifles out that they're probably making a couple hundred bucks a piece on, or whatever it is, then in lieu of losing that $77 million contract. So, and they're saying that there may be some other gun makers come out and do the exact same thing that they were doing. So, And I don't doubt that it's going to, you know, affect prices and availability and stuff. And it could be because the fact that they're doing that is causing a little bit of panic out there. And people are going to start, I've still got a bunch of AR-15 and AK-47 magazines, detachable SKS magazines, and a few other things that I've held on to. Because one of these days, in the not too distant future, I see these magazines going up to $100 again. And I ain't going to sell a damn one of them until they go up to that. You know, I'm not going to sell them now for $12 when I know good and well they're going to be $75 here before next year is over. So we'll see how all that works out for everybody. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. Well, at some point in time here, I need to catch my breath, and right now is one of those times.
I'll be back.
You keep calling me on the telephone. You say you're all alone. Well, that's real sad. And you keep leaving notes stuck on my door. Guess you're hungry for some more. Girl, that's too bad.
Me and my boy got the trigger wound.
guitar case.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy Chevrolet.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. You know, there's another little piece of news here that I forgot to tell you about, and I don't know why I forgot, because it's kind of a, I don't know if it's exciting or if it's different. And that, excuse me, it kind of slipped out there. That is, let me get rid of this. All right, I'm back, sorry. I'm exploring the possibilities here. I talked to some people today about it, and I'm kind of tossing around the idea of running for sheriff here in this county. So I'll let you know as that idea progresses here, if it progresses. But I've got a lot of support. A lot of people would back me here, and the people that I've talked to are all for it. And of course, the one thing that obviously it would be as a constitutional sheriff, and I have a prospect here. Well, it's not a prospect, he's already said he would, a guy that would be my under-sheriff, who has got, two decades of law enforcement experience, and at several different levels. So it's an interesting idea. You know, it's a little intimidating, and I don't know, you know, the guy that's the incumbent sheriff is pretty well entrenched, and the thing that is difficult here to overcome is going to be the Native American vote. We have a very large population of Native Americans in the northern part of the state and of the county, and a few in the southern part. And it's significant. And what I don't understand, though, and I'm hoping that I can get somebody to give me some rhyme or reason as to why this happens, why can they vote in our elections, but we cannot vote in their elections? Why can they hunt on our property, but we cannot hunt on theirs? Why does a sheriff have little jurisdiction on the reservation, but they can still vote for him? And, you know, that whole thing just is absurd to me. It doesn't make any sense. And, of course, that's way above and beyond what I would have any capability of doing anything about, but it doesn't keep me from being frustrated about it. But that's going to be the major stumbling block there, is whether or not we can obtain enough of that Native American vote to
to make a difference. So if I choose to do this, and I will let you know if I do, it'll be next week. And if I choose to do that, there'll be some times when a lot of long hours on the road on the campaign trail and whatnot. So there obviously are probably going to be some times when I may miss some shows. So I will try to do pre-records when I can, archives when I can't, and I'll try to do them live just as cotton picking often as I can. But if it gets to a point, well, we won't even worry about that right now. I don't even know if I'm going to do it yet, but I'm going to talk to the elections lady on Monday to see what's going on there. All right, let's see what we got going here. There is Florida lawmakers is pushing for a constitutional carry. I hate to use that term because there's no such thing. There is no constitutional carry in the United States. That's the common term, and that's what everybody understands. More correctly, it is permitless carry. So a Florida lawmaker is trying to get a permitless carry movement going here. And if they are able to do it, I think they might. You know, they were the very first, I believe they were the first state to have a shall issue carry law where you got it no matter what, as long as you were not prohibited by law from having one. You didn't have to have a reason. You didn't have to do anything except just be legal and fill out your stuff and pay your money and get your training and all that. Now that in itself is unconstitutional, I know a question that's going to come up, or many related questions that's going to come up if I were to choose to try this sheriff thing. And that is, you know, some of my friends and colleagues and whatnot locally are going to say, well, you know, you're the sheriff now. You can do this and you can do that. You want to be constitutional, you have to do this. You know what? I understand that. I understand what everybody wants. But people have to understand that the old saying is you have to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So there's going to be times that we are stuck with certain things that we can't just wake up one morning and stop everything that we've been doing. You know, if it were up to me, we would stop speeding tickets and running stop signs. If you didn't have a wreck, then it's not a problem. And seat belts and helmets and all that stuff. But that is state law. And while I can, depending on the circumstances, I could maybe not enforce some of those things, but it's still law, and that's not going to change because I don't like it. So we will have to do what we have to do to stay within the confines of the law and keep on keeping on and try to, convince, get people's thinking going the right direction. And I think that there are lots of good constitutional sheriffs out there. You know, I mean, not nearly enough, but there are quite a few. And I've seen some damn fine ones out there. And I hope that if I were to choose to do this, that I could, live up to that name. But if I'm able to do that, then hopefully we can start getting people thinking differently about it. Let's see. Minnie, what are you talking about? Minnie says Walmart and Kroger has stopped the sale of Zantac over a possible cancer link. Unbelievable. It's more crap. Walmart stopped selling guns due to lead poisoning. Yeah, that's a fact. Interesting stories being posted on the chat room right now for those of you that are not on the chat room. Our chat room's pretty light participation, but hoping on Friday nights we're going to pick that up a little bit after next Friday due to being on an hour earlier. So anyway, right now I think what we'll do is listen to Pam Tillis for a minute.
If you're coming with me, you need nerves of steel. Cause I take corners on two wheels. Well, it's a never-ending circus ride. Ain't no heart need not apply.
This is war against truths. This is a war against the highest noble man who has defended our country and made us safe and great again. Let me stand with our president. Let us all stand with our President Trump in a time of such evil words, trying for impeachment. This is a crime that the left are trying to force. This is a disgrace by such ignorant followers that have no truth of what truly has been brought back to our country. We have gained greatness. We have gained jobs. We have gained more than any president has promised. This radical left are destructive. Their codes of what is supposed to be are corrupt with lies, deceits, and anger. And we ask why. We ask, how can a human being have such anger toward the greatness of our country's glory? I'll tell you why. Because for so long their anger has been growing, and with such deep pain, with no open heart of loving and seeing the truth. The truth of what truly matters is the productivity of what was promised and what we, the American people of the United States, were promised and have received. And what does the radical left do for such greatness? They want to destroy. They want civilization to be run like a corrupt ring. I say stand now with Trump. Let truth prevail. And may God show all the truth. That we are truly a nation stronger because of our president. The left are afraid, for their power is lessening with every deal that is accomplished by Donald Trump. In the name of God and his power for this nation, let us stay strong and without such evil among us. God bless.
That was, some of you probably already heard that, but that was John Voight. You remember him? He's looking pretty good for 80 years old, I can tell you that. He's not looking bad at all. But it's refreshing to hear a Hollywood, you know, celebrity, movie star, or a singer, or whatever the case may be, on our side. You know, there's just not, I don't know that there's fewer of them, or if they're just like us, and they don't stand up and talk as much, you know, and say as much as they should. And as I've said many times before, and I'll say it many times again, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and that's why we talked Monday about the, you know, 14%, you know, of this is theoretical, I don't know that this is fact, but 14% of the population being atheist or agnostic or whatever seems to get their way, you know, when they want something removed or something changed or whatever. And one person out of 100 is offended because of something another, and it gets changed, while the other 99 people's opinion doesn't matter. So I have no reason to believe that the celebrities are not the same way. There's probably more of them than we know that are on our side, but they're just not speaking out. I don't know if they're doing it because they're worried about it affecting their career, or if they're just cowards, or if they, you know, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the problem is with Americans in general. Why are we not all speaking out loud and clear, hard, firmly, politely, be professional when you do it, because it doesn't, as bad as we'd like to reach out and choke until their eyes pop out and then flip their eyeballs like a booger, that's not the way to go. We have to be a little bit more professional or we're not going to get anywhere. That's the way I feel about things anyway. So, you remember John Voight? He was the one, he was in, what was he in? Midnight Cowboy and Runaway Train. What was another one? Was he in Deliverance? I don't remember. Anyway, he's a good actor. I like him. He's got a lot of movies, won a lot of awards and stuff out there. So I was more than a little bit surprised when this came out with him on it. That was pretty good. Oh, Nan finally made it in there. Hey, there's a story. Let's get this last story in here right quick. This one will, Tebow might remember what happened here. There is a lawmaker out there that wants to make gun-free zones liable if someone gets hurt. There's a state representative in, where is it? His name's Gary Eisen, Republican, St. Clair Township. Anyway, wherever it's at. And he's saying that, you know, if you put this sign up and somebody gets hurt and they could have protected themselves had they been allowed to carry a gun, that they're going to make this gun-free zone maker liable for it. Now, Tebow probably remembers back in Tebow, what was that restaurant in Farmington that we all used to go to? Guy and me and Jason and you and some of your friends always went down there. And they put up a sign for a very, very short period of time that said no guns. And we'd all been carrying openly in there, perfectly legal in New Mexico for months, years. And all of a sudden this sign shows up. And so one of my students was pretty in tight with those people down there. And he said, there's more than one of them, actually. There's two or three of them. And they said, you know what? We will abide by your sign, but I'll tell you this. If anything happens to one of mine, between that car and this booth, anywhere in that parking lot, I'll sue you. I will own this restaurant the very next day. Which, of course, he wouldn't, but that was the point. And I don't remember what the name of the restaurant was, but it's a good place. We used to all go there and eat. They had a great buffet there, a marvelous breakfast buffet. And I really miss going. It wasn't TJ's, Tebow, if you're thinking of that. It was on the other side of town, over by the Marriott, by the river. I can't for the life of me remember what that was. Let's see. A&M Glock, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying there, that they're already liable under federal law. I don't, that doesn't make any sense to me. You'll have to expound on that a little bit. I'm not saying it's not true, I just don't understand it. Which is true with a lot of things that I don't understand. And I've shared many of those things with you. No, not the diner, not TJ's Diner. You've been out there with us before. Is out there by Noel Hard, what used to be Noel Hardware, on the corner right there by the Holiday Inn. Matter of fact, it's almost in the same building as the Holiday Inn or Holiday Inn Express or whatever it is on that corner right there. What the heck was the name of that place? I don't know what delay we've got between the time I say something and the time you guys hear it, but apparently it's quite a bit because Tebow just came back with that. So I'm going to give him a minute. It's about time to quit here, but I'm going to give Tebow just a minute and see if he can remember what the name of that place is. It's bugging me that I don't remember. That dang good food there. All right, come on, Tebow. Cough it up. Gonna have dead air here while I'm pulling my hair out trying to remember what the name of that place was. But a guy used to go out there all the time. It probably still does. Out towards, almost out to the old power plant where he crossed the Animas River there. All right, well, it's that time. I don't know, maybe Tebow will think of it and post it out there on the chat room in a little bit, but I'm going to scoot on out of here. I need to move that. No, I don't. I'll just leave it right there, and we'll use it next week. Once again, I want to remind you that this Friday should be, well, Liberty Lounge will still come on at the same time at 8 Mountain Standard Time. However, yours truly will not be a part of it because we have a night shoot going on with this rifle class at that time, so I won't be able to do it. So the following Friday, what is that date? This Friday is the 4th, so the following Friday is the 11th. On the 11th, the show will start 1 hour earlier. We're, for the time being, temporarily doing away with Three Amigos. And, no, not that far out, Tebow. Dang it. Before you cross the river, right there on the left by the Marriott. There ain't no Marriott by Sonia's. I don't know what other landmarks to give you there. By the Village Inn, across the street there, up on the corner. Anyway, where was I at? On the 11th, Liberty Lounge will be starting an hour earlier. for the foreseeable future. It's going to stay that way, 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, so that you folks out on the East Coast can stay up with us a little bit longer. I know it's awful late when it ends ends at 10 here. It ends at it's midnight out your way. So hopefully that extra hour will allow you to hang with us for a little longer. All right. Well, I'm getting out of here, and we will see you guys on, well, I won't see you on Friday. It'll be next Monday. We got a night shoot Friday, so sorry about that. I'll have something exciting for you, though. We'll get something on. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Says it all.